Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly?
Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
I would rather have a dark fruits than a wife. I would rather have a dark fruits than a wife. That's what they sing at football, isn't it?
Is that a football song?
I don't know. Something like that.
Dark fruits being an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah.
Rather have a dark fruits than a wife. Fair enough. Your choice, mate. Good intro.
Yeah. I don't know what it's from. I've just heard it sung to me before. And I thought, you know what, I'm feeling a bit of a hooligan today. Feeling a bit of a rebel.
You look like a hooligan.
Yeah.
Most days.
Yeah. I feel feel like I look like a rebel if I was in a library. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I'll definitely. Yeah.
I feel like the look I've gone for today with the spectacles,
yeah.
I'm the person that's like, what do you mean that book is still rented out?
I'm a librarian with tattoos, don't you know?
You're already late, Timothy, on 3 books. I'm not going to lend you out another one. Well, then that wouldn't make me a rebel. That would just make me good at my job as a librarian.
In that case, you should go, you're already late, Timothy, with 3 books. Oh, go on then. Have another one. We won't tell anyone.
Yeah, that's more like it. Yeah, that's the look I've gone for today.
Fair enough. Can I have a book, please?
Yeah, take 4.
All right. What are we on today then, Josh?
Oh, well, the theme of this podcast is Paranormality UK, which we've said before, we talk about all kinds of things, crazy, weird,
wacky, scary,
events.
Sometimes paranormal, sometimes normal.
Yeah. Anything interesting.
Interesting,
really.
Yeah, weird and interesting.
Stories. So today, I've gone for an actual story. This is completely fact. This is American history.
A true life story. Not like, you know, the Hollywood's kind of true life. This is actual true.
This is true. Although they did make it into a film.
Oh, dear.
And a book.
What was the film called?
Oh, God, I couldn't tell you.
You didn't research that,
did you? I saw it, but I also saw the review and it said,
it was 2-star.
It wasn't great.
All right.
The book is better.
IMDb of like -7.
It was pretty bad.
Oh, okay.
It didn't get good ratings. So I thought, you know what?
Not promoting that then.
Exactly. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to tell the story and read parts of the book and things instead. So today we are doing Ruby Ridge. Yeah. Some people would have seen clips of this because famously I got it from...
Is that what the film was called then? Ruby Ridge or...
No, it was called something else. But the actual factual story is called Ruby Ridge.
Yeah.
Now, this was brought to my attention because I saw a clip from the Joe Rogan podcast, and it was a guy talking about it. But he briefly mentioned it for like a couple of minutes, and it was enough to grab me. And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting.
Oh, was he just like referencing it on an overall story about whatever? And
he was
the reference that caught your attention.
They were just kind of talking about like different stories and stuff. Yeah. And then he just said to Joe, like, oh, have you heard the story of Ruby Ridge? And then basically summarized it in like 2 minutes.
Oh, fair enough.
And I thought, oh, there's got to be more to it than that. So isn't, but I've got more details. So
you dug through it and waffled down 10 pages of drivel.
Yeah, like I just thought, well, there is a bit more to it. Like, I'm just going to tell the story. And
right, go on then. Set the scene. Let's set the scene.
So,
when did this happen?
My main sources are history.com and wikipedia.org for most of it.
Okay.
And then there was snippets of the book and a couple of other websites and stuff.
And a bit of Joe Rogan.
Yeah, well, nah, apart from that 2 minute clip, nothing else really. So I'm going to take you back to the early 80s is where it was, where it first started. But the actual Ruby Ridge was early 90s.
Right, okay. But, that was quite a lengthy story then.
Well, yeah. Let me take you back to the person that is involved in the main story, the anti-hero in a way. Some people say hero, some people say anti-hero. We'll get into that debate at the end.
I pronounce it anti-hero, but yeah, that's fine.
Anti.
That's your Americanisms coming through.
Anti-hero, anti-hero.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Also, that's something that bugs me with that song. No one says potato.
No one ever says potato.
You say potato, I say potato. No, no one says potato.
No. You don't ask if anybody wants potato salad, do you?
No. I'd say, excuse me, sir, have you had a stroke? If you offered me potato salad.
You look a bit droopy on one side.
Yeah, excuse me. I've not heard of potato salad before, but it doesn't sound great.
I can imagine King Charles ordering it, though, for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah.
Could I have some potato salad, please?
I'm getting sidetracked. We haven't even started.
Ruby Ridge.
Right. Randy Weaver, the main anti-hero, was a college dropout and former Green Beret. He and his wife, Vicky, were religious fundamentalists who distrusted the government and believed the end of the world was imminent.
Oh, the end is nigh.
Yeah, they were extreme Christians. So they started hoarding guns and made plans to move to a... What?
They're extreme Christians. So they started hoarding guns.
Yeah, yeah. So they were part of that extreme...
A sect? Yeah, okay, yeah. I know what you mean, yeah.
The name escapes me, but there was also that crazy woman not too long ago, literally a few months ago, that just went to life for prison for killing her own children because she was an absolute nut. Do you remember? I think you watched it.
Yeah. I know the one woman you mean. I can't think of her name. She ended up getting remarried or something and moved off to Hawaii and everybody.
That's the one.
Yeah, I know.
I remember the guy's name because his last name was like Daybell, so it's Chad Daybell, but I always forget her name.
I can't remember her name.
But she was part of that kind of like...
They weren't Mormons, were they?
I don't think they were Christian, but they were... Either way, they don't.
Mormon is Christian, but it's like a division section of Christianity. But yeah, I don't know. Well, she was an extremist anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just part of, you know, some people take religion to the extreme, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
So these were kind of like that. So they started hoarding guns and made plans to move to a secluded area and live off of the grid. They didn't trust the government. They were religious.
Well, that more explains the guns then, because if you're living off-grid in America... They're kind of essential, and you've got bears and mountain lions and all that sort of stuff that you've got to defend yourself against. So, yeah.
And they just wanted to live off the land.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
So in 1984, Randy, Vicky, and their three children moved into a cabin they'd built themselves overlooking Ruby Creek in Idaho. By choice, they had no electricity or running water.
Okay. Mm. They got local to a river, so that's the closest you get to running water.
So after receiving information that Weaver had made threats towards President Ronald Reagan and other government officials, the FBI and Secret Service opened an investigation.
Right.
Yeah, so that's basically how it starts.
Okay.
He's just living off the grid.
That's quite a claim to make, that he's threatened the president.
Yeah. So from the other... This wasn't history.com or Wikipedia, but the other websites, because I wanted to find out, like, how did this all just all of a sudden start?
Blow up, yeah.
Now, from what I read, he was just... I think he was in a bank, or he was somewhere trying to get money out or something. And it was one of those things where someone was eavesdropping, twisted his words. So he could have been having a joke or just saying something out loud.
He might have got a bit irate and, you know, F the president or whatever.
Yeah, someone took it seriously, and... That person that took it seriously happened to be a police officer.
Suddenly, like, CIA gets involved, and we're going to investigate this guy.
Yeah. Okay. So they open an investigation. Now, no charges were filed, but investigators documented that Weaver had ties to the Aryan Nation, the Aryan, A-R-Y-A-N, Aryan Nation.
Aryan, okay.
And Weaver denied this claim. Now... You know, every time I do research, there's something that I'd like
you
to...
Do you want me to ask you what is the Aryan Nation?
Yeah.
Okay, what is the Aryan Nation, Josh?
I'm glad you asked, mate. So the Aryan Nation...
To be honest, I'm not going to pretend that I know, because I have no idea what the Aryan Nation is.
Yes! Finally, I've researched something that you don't know, and you've asked me. The Aryan Nation, Pirate, which I'm glad you really asked this. So it's the North American anti-Semitic neo-Nazi white supremacist group founded in 1978.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was not expecting that. I thought it'd be somewhere in the Middle East, but yeah, okay.
Now, they said that he had ties to the Aryan Nation. Weaver denies this claim and says, still to this day, he says, I was never racist. I'm not a racist person. Doesn't like it.
My best friend in the military was Berber.
You're not far off. You're not far off what his mate's actually called. And later on, I will tell you the name of the guy that helped.
Okay.
And to me, it's the most American name I've ever heard, and it's not far off, bub. So,
fair enough.
In 1989, undercover ATF agents claimed Weaver sold them illegal sawed-off shotguns and offered Weaver the chance to become an informant on the Aryan Nation. Now, let me just clear that up. So, Weaver...
So, anyway, from where I'm sitting, right, he's not part of the Aryan Nation.
Mm-hmm.
They think he's part of the Aryan Nation.
Yep.
So they ask him to be an informant on the Aryan Nation that he's actually got no ties to or no in to get in there.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Fair enough. Right, makes complete sense.
But he was selling sawn-off shotguns...
Naughty boy.
To anyone that would buy them.
Anyone that wanted to rob a bank.
And most of the people that
were white buying... supremacists.
Yeah. So there is that tie to Weaver, but he still denies...
No, he was just selling them to anybody.
Yeah. So he denies being racist, denies being part of the group, anything like that. He was basically like, I was just trying to sell guns.
Yeah, I was selling them. I don't care if you're black, white, who you want to kill. Don't matter.
So when Weaver refused, he was indicted for making and keeping illegal weapons.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So after being released on bail, his trial was set for February 1991. But his probation officer told him the wrong date. He told him it wasn't until March.
Right.
So his trial was supposed to be February. He got told
March. So naturally he didn't turn up to his trial, and there was a, what's it called, a PBR or whatever it is against him?
Well, let's get into it. So Weaver missed the February trial, and a warrant was issued for his arrest. The March 20th trial came and went without an appearance from Weaver, and a grand jury indicted him for failing to appear at trial. Attempts to negotiate with Weaver over the next year via mail failed. And he remained at large.
Because he didn't have a mailbox.
Yeah, it's because he's off-grid.
Yeah, off-grid, out in the middle of nowhere. How are they trying to get in contact with him by mail? You need to actually go out there and speak to the guy.
Yeah, so he was told the wrong date, and then...
This was what, in the 1980s?
No, this was early 90s.
Early 90s. Well, even so, like, I mean, the chances of him having even a telephone, if he's off-grid, you know, out in the middle of the sticks. And wilderness is big out there, isn't it? I mean, just completely...
And again, I need to mention, main reason he went off-grid was because he didn't trust the US
government. Yeah.
So he missed both trials because he was like, oh, this is just a load of rubbish. Just leave me alone. I just want to have a peaceful life off the grid with my wife and kids. So he remained at large, and the U.S. Marshal Service was responsible for bringing in the now fugitive Weaver. With Weaver's weapons, with his weapons arsenal and anti-government stance, they determined he wouldn't give up peacefully.
Right, okay, yeah. Without talking to him.
He doesn't even know he's, like, at large, basically. He just thinks,
He's like, I've still got another month, Don't worry about it, yeah.
So they planned a covert takedown to gather intelligence, survey the terrain, the Weaver family, and eventually arrest Weaver. Now, I'm just going to mention at this point, because I think it's important. So I Googled in America what the punishment would be for the crime that he was meant to go to trial for.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, because it would have been his first offence, they automatically kind of take it easier on you, unless it's murder.
And he's a military veteran.
Yeah, yeah. So he would have had...
I was about to say military vitamin. That's obviously wrong.
Although a Weaver does sound like a...
vitamin.
Yeah, yeah. I'm lacking in vitamin Weaver.
Sorry, you had to sidetrack. Go on. So the minimum...
So basically selling or owning a sawn-off shotgun would have resulted in either a $10,000 fine or up to 10 years in prison.
Right,
but because it was first offence, by the records and by the research, he wouldn't have got the maximum 10 years. He was probably looking at a couple years, few years, five at the most kind of thing.
Or probably just a fine.
Yes, yeah. So that's what we're talking for the offence that he missed, which now the US Marshal Service are completely surveilling the, you know, do you know what I mean?
So, they ramped it up a bit.
Yeah. So surveillance began and the Weaver family became more and more isolated. Vicky Weaver gave birth to a baby girl. So this is child number four.
Oh, four?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the cabin, at home, and cared for her family as best she could under the difficult circumstances.
Yeah, with no electric or running water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So surveillance teams noted the Weavers were almost always armed and decided to settle in for the long haul. They planned to infiltrate the tight family unit with the help of a male and female undercover agent posing as the Weavers' new neighbours. Again, off-grid, in the middle of nowhere, their original plan was to have these two undercover
cops.
Guys,
we just moved in next door, 20 miles away.
Yeah. Because they built the cabin themselves in the middle of nowhere. So. But the deputies never got a chance. And that is because there was Deputy Marshals Dave Hunt and Art Roderick, which I think is a great name, by the way. Art Roderick.
That's not the most American name I've ever heard.
No, it's just cool. I like it. Knew the rugged terrain surrounding Weaver's home. They knew it pretty well. So they were going to lead the undercover team.
Yeah.
On the morning of August 21st, 1992... as the team prepared to gather intelligence for the day, the Weaver's family dogs became aware of their presence.
That's pretty much why people have dogs when they live in the sticks. Yeah, so they can early warning system.
Yeah. So the dogs, Sammy Weaver, who is Randy's 14-year-old son, and Kevin Harris, who was a hunting partner, like good friend to Randy Weaver, they gave chase as the surveillance team scattered.
You see the big mistake that the surveillance team had. They didn't have a skinwalker's bone whistle.
Oh, they didn't.
The dogs wouldn't have barked.
Yes, that's true. So the dogs have basically spotted these people in the bushes.
Yeah,
and can I just mention as well, they had full ghillie suits and...
Really?
Yeah, the full operation.
Crikey.
For a bloke that... allegedly.
Like take down Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, yeah. You can see why this story is a bit controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So a firefight actually ensued, leaving 14-year-old Sammy Weaver and Marshal Billy Deegan and one of the Weaver's dogs dead.
Oh, not just maimed then. They killed him outright.
Now, who shot first and who shot who would later be debated by all surviving parties in the courts and in the media, but the carnage wasn't over yet.
Oh, right, okay.
What I actually read in that part as well, which I think is important to mention, but this is, I will say allegedly, because it's still up to debate, because the FBI obviously stick to their story, the Weaver six.
Everybody's going to stick to their story, yeah.
Allegedly, the dog ran off first because it was sniffing and it smelt something, spotted the surveillance, started barking and chasing. So then Sammy, who they were armed because they were going out hunting, because, again, no electric, no water, they're living off the grid.
Yeah,
they were going
to supermarkets.
Yeah. Like, so they were going to
grow or hunt and catch what you want to eat.
Yeah, hunt their own meat. So he had a gun. He saw the surveillance team and the dogs and everything, and allegedly they shot the dog first without any hesitation, which then Sammy turned to run back to the cabin and then was shot in the back.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's allegedly how it all actually started. Yeah. But again, it's up to debate to this day.
It's unconfirmed.
Yeah.
Right.
So as the family ran back and took refuge into their cabin, they were grieving the loss of Sammy because they realised he had been shot. And they were planning their next steps on how to escape the cabin. So Deputy Hunt called for help to end the standoff. So in case...
Called what? So they or
yeah, no, they,
called for
they
backup
wanted,
to end the standoff?
They wanted more police officers and more secret agents.
For backup?
For backup.
Right.
When these people have run back for cover into
their
cabin.
And they could have just got like a megaphone and gone... Hey, we're here just to check you out. Why don't you come on out and come and talk to us?
Mm-hmm.
That's all it would have taken.
Yeah, but they didn't do that.
No, of course not.
They thought he was armed and dangerous. It's very bizarre. So on August 22nd, the FBI, under the impression they were entering an active, unprovoked firefight against U.S. Marshals...
unprovoked, yeah.
...arrived
like
on...
They went there to surveil the place, and it was unprovoked. Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
They arrived on Ruby Ridge... As hundreds of law enforcement officers, hundreds of law enforcement officers and federal agents surged into the area with the unusual orders to shoot any armed adult on site, FBI snipers set up a perimeter hoping to force Weaver to negotiate. Yeah, yeah.
Negotiate, that's what they call it.
Yeah. So, as you can imagine, Weaver was having none of this.
No, ex-Green Beret, veteran. Yeah, he was like, don't trust the government. I ain't going out there now, not with the hundreds of people out there all training a gun on me. Yeah. Don't trust you.
I will just say, because I feel like there's going to be a running theme with that accent. I don't think he was from the South. I think he was a normal American. Well, I say that.
A normal American.
That's probably more offensive than what you were doing.
Probably.
Not a normal American. It was up north.
Up north, northern
Idaho.
American.
Idaho. So,
I don't know
how
to do that accent.
I think it's literally just your standard American.
Normal American.
Yeah, normal American. Yeah, yeah. I can say it. I'm American. It's fine. So Weaver was having none of it.
It's just whenever I think of Americans going, no, not the government, it's always like that southern accent. It just pops to mind. That's the one that I find the easiest to recreate.
To be fair, in your defense...
I'm not being racist.
No, 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 not at all. And rightly so, in your defense, I think most of the people like that are from the South. And it's exactly the same as when you see... a clip of a Trump supporter, they all seem to have that accent as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't blame you. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, this guy was actually, like, a legit survivalist. Like, he wasn't a hick. He was he was a veteran. Like,
okay, well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Weaver was having none of it. He ignored all negotiation attempts, including pleas from his own sister, who the police had then brought in to be like, come on, come help us out. We need to calm your brother down. The pleas from her didn't even work. After heading to the nearby shed where they'd brought Sammy's body earlier, so there was a shed next to the cabin.
Yeah.
Obviously, in a panic, they just dropped the body off.
Who the weavers did?
Yes, yes. Right, so okay, the weavers carried Sammy, realised he was dead, but they put him in the shed.
Popped him there on the standby. Yeah.
Yeah, so after heading to the nearby shed where they'd brought Sammy's body earlier, Weaver and Harris, along with now the 16-year-old daughter, Sarah Weaver, was now involved. They were shot at by the FBI sniper.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes see details.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow. Styles that bring joy to your world. Brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more. And deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
So they were going to check the shed and they were shot at. Now, the FBI sniper...
Sniper's usually a pretty good shot. If they're going to take one, it's usually a pretty good shot.
I'm glad you said that, actually, because that actually comes up in the next bit, that you're going to be like, what the actual hell? Like, there's no way that wasn't on purpose. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
They usually have to have a all clear to take a shot.
Now, I'm going to give my best at pronouncing this Asian name. So the sniper was called Ion Horiyoshi, who thought the Weavers were about to fire on the incoming helicopter. So not check the body of their dead son and brother.
No.
They thought...
We thought this family of four people was so dangerous that we'd get an incoming helicopter, and obviously they've got an RPG to take it out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to get my sniper on it.
So he started shooting. Randy Weaver was hit in the arm, and... him, Sarah, and Harris headed back to the cabin for safety. So obviously, crossfire and everything's coming in.
Was it the sniper that shot him in the arm? Or
Yeah, fair play.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So as the men were running, and Sarah, Harris, Weaver, as they were approaching the house and running back, Vicky, the wife, was stood behind the front door holding her infant daughter when Horiyoshi fired again, hitting Vicky straight in the face and killing her instantly.
Through the door?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So like you said about snipers, was that on purpose? Was it not?
Well, was it a glass door? Was it a wooden door?
Wooden door.
So he couldn't see her?
That's what he claims. That's what he claims.
That's what I would assume is, but... I mean, that's a wayward shot if he's firing into a door that he doesn't know what
again
on the other side of it.
This is why it's so controversial,
yeah,
mate. There's
very
opposing arguments here.
Very, because, yeah, like you say, snipers usually have to have a green light once they've confirmed a target.
Yes.
And, you know, said, yes, positive ID on target, waiting for a green light, all good, bang, done. Snipers don't fire randomly.
No, exactly.
Generally.
So Harris was also seriously injured in these shots that were fired that killed Randy's wife, Vicky. Horiyoshi later claimed he didn't know Vicky was in the doorway and the sight was on Harris. But this is where it's controversial. Harris was critically injured, but Vicky was like bullseye straight through the face, killed instant.
Mm.
So was he actually aiming for Harris? This is the debate.
That's, yeah. I mean, I'd have to look at some statistics. How far away was the shot? What was the angle? What was the wind speed? You know, what was the drop on the bullet? That sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, to be sighting down on Randy and
Harris. His best man.
Oh, Harris.
His,
to be sighted down on Harris and hit someone completely different through a wooden door is quite a faux pas.
It's an odd one. Yeah. It is an odd one. So it may be slight conspiracy here with this story.
Particularly it being a headshot.
Yeah. So chaos ensued as Harris, Weaver and his surviving family took cover in the cabin, with both Harris and Weaver wounded, Vicky and Sammy dead. This confirmed to Weaver his darkest thoughts and suspicions about the US government were correct.
Well, yeah, you would, yeah, you would think that if he was in that situation, yeah. Wouldn't you?
What a way to prove someone right, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just slaughter half your family.
Yeah, yeah, right. For no reason. Just because you wanted to live out in the woods and grow your own wheat for your own bread and catch your own fish.
Allegedly sell sawn-off shotguns to people.
To white supremacists.
So Weaver, however, would not give up still. Outside the cabin, hundreds of protesters had now arrived to oppose the government's actions and grew increasingly angry when they learned the deaths of Sammy and Vicky.
Where did they come from?
The protesters.
Yeah.
Obviously media and news and all sorts.
Right. So this was like a whole... This was actually a media event with coverage and stuff by this point. How long had this been going on for, but this point?
This standoff... was 10 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, crikey, I thought this was all in the same day for some reason.
No. So, the whole thing, start to finish, was 10 days, almost 11 days. So by this point, the media involved, like, people are now protesting against the government, saying, like, what are you doing? Like, you've killed an innocent boy, you've killed the man's wife. The people that you weren't even there to go after in the first place. You've just killed two innocent people. So the protesters were very, very angry, as you can imagine.
I can imagine, yeah, yeah. Rightly so.
So then this is where they get someone who worked with Randy in the...
This is your guy with the American name, isn't it?
In the military before. So they thought, I think he was the commander of Randy, but they got on either way.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, let's bring in a family member or someone that knows him well. And they brought in Special Forces soldier... Bo Gritz.
That is a pretty American
name. That's pretty American, isn't it? I love that. Now, Bo Gritz sounds like a hero to me.
He does,
Yeah, so Bo Gritz arrived on the scene.
He actually sounds like the guy that you want as your best man at your wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
Bo Gritz, yes.
Yes.
Come on.
So he arrived on the scene confident he could peacefully end the botched standoff. On August 30th, Gritz convinced Weaver to give up critically injured Harris and allow Vicky's body to be removed from the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
But Weaver and his surviving kids remained inside. He still didn't want to give up. He still didn't trust the government. Who can blame him?
No. What's the government? I mean, that's the thing. Running through his head at this point, what's going to happen to him if he does give up?
He probably thinks he's going to get shot and killed
himself.
Probably, yeah. And his kids. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, firing squad.
So with time running out, Gritz went to the cabin again the next day on the morning of August 31st. And although Weaver had vowed to die before giving himself up, Gritz managed to convince him and otherwise and escorted Weaver and his terrified daughters out of the cabin. My own handwriting messed me up there. So yeah, so either way, he managed to convince him to come out with his daughters out of the cabin. Weaver was immediately arrested and his daughters handed over to relatives.
I thought they were going to say that his daughters were just shot in front of him for no reason.
No. The long siege of Ruby Ridge was finally over after 10 days or 11 days.
It was
11 days.
Wow.
Now, here's the aftermath.
Okay.
So that is the actual story of Ruby Ridge. He was arrested.
That is it.
Wife and kid killed.
Clank. Didn't do nothing wrong to start with, but now we're going to cut you off and see if we can prosecute you.
Yeah. So despite being charged with murder, conspiracy and other crimes, war crimes, terrorism, all of that.
Conspiracy for what?
It's just what the FBI tried to... Weaver was actually only convicted of failing to appear for trial on his original weapons charge. How ridiculous is that?
That is stupid.
They threw the book at this guy, and he was only charged for failing to appear for trial on his original weapons charge. Not even charged with the sawn-off shotgun.
No, no, yeah, just not for even missing for the original trial. Offences, just for missing the trial of the original offences.
He served 18 months.
Wow.
Harris was cleared of all charges.
Right.
The Department of Justice Task Force report found many faults with how federal agents handled Ruby Ridge.
No kidding.
Such as...
We got a list.
Yeah. It's not much, but the main three that managed to get Weaver away from, you know, lesser crimes and everything.
Okay.
The rule changed, allowing snipers to shoot any adult on sight without warning to surrender. That was the big one.
Okay.
Which makes sense as to why he just shot at Harris. And
through
when
a
they
door,
were,
yeah.
When
oh, they were yeah. Shot at him through a door and then hit his wife. In the face.
So Horucci was unjustified in firing the shot that killed Vicky Weaver since they were retreating when he fired. So they were retreating back to the cabin when he fired. And Horucci placed Vicky Weaver and her children at risk by targeting the cabin door without knowing who was behind it. So because of those, they were the main reasons, amongst others.
What happened to Horucci then? Did he just get a dishonorable discharge? Or
what's that, Pyro? I'm glad you asked. There's more aftermath. Well, the men were awarded medals.
You are joking.
No, I'm not.
The sniper as well?
No. So
I was going to say.
Not most, but some of the men and women involved in this case... And I might just add here as well, the FBI still to this day say that this was a success. So
really?
Yes. Yeah.
I'd call it a farce.
So the men and women were awarded medals, but two people did go down for this crime, if you will. So
Carucci.
He's one of them. So it starts off with FBI agent Michael Cahoe. He participated in a cover-up about Ruby Ridge. He actually pled guilty to obstruction of justice and was sentenced to 18 months and a $4,000 fine after admitting to destroying a report that condemned the FBI's response during the standoff. So he got the same amount of time as Weaver did for missing trial.
Yeah.
But he doesn't lose a wife and a child.
No. Or his entire lifestyle, you know, yeah.
Nuts.
Everything that he's worked for.
So he pled guilty to that, so that is fact. That is there. Now, in 1997, Horiuchi was charged with manslaughter, but this was dismissed for following actions in the line of duty.
Right, okay.
Right? But then in 2001, this was overturned... But there was no more charges filed against Horiuchi because you obviously can't get tried for the same thing
twice. Yeah, double jeopardy.
So he got away with it. Horiuchi didn't go to prison.
Yeah, okay.
Now, in 1995, the US government paid the Weaver family $3.1 million in damages for the tragic loss of Sammy and Vicky Weaver.
Rightly so.
And in 2000, Harris was awarded $380,000 in return for dropping the $10 million lawsuit against the government. So he basically settled for $380,000.
On a $10 million lawsuit?
Yeah. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of that, but it obviously wasn't going the way he wanted or something behind the scenes.
Well, he's already got $3.1 million. Anyway, so.
Well, this is the friend, you see. So the actual the family were awarded $3.1 million.
What's
the hunting friend who was just there to
Harris.
Yeah, just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was awarded $380,000 for dropping the lawsuit against them.
Obviously, had something big on him then.
Yeah. So the government have never admitted any wrongdoing in the siege of Ruby Ridge. And like I say, to this day, the FBI still consider it a success. But one thing I will say about Randy Weaver, he is the only person in American history to have a firefight with the FBI and US government and win the court case after and actually be the hero. in the history of America.
Well done.
Yeah. And
fair play. And it's like, to be fair, I mean, yeah, the guy might have been selling someone off shotguns or whatever to whoever wanted them at the start. But, I mean, Americans love their guns, don't they?
Yeah.
As far as I can see, he wasn't really doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
To have all of that come down on his head in the middle of nowhere when he just wants a peaceful, quiet life away from all the PTSD that they've probably given him from the Gulf War and Vietnam or whatever, wherever he was stationed as a Green Beret, because that's obviously what's caused it all in the first place, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think he had an easy time in the army, that's for sure.
If he didn't trust the government to start with and he wanted to get off grid, I'd put that down to PTSD.
Possibly.
Some kind of trauma.
We don't know. That's the thing. We don't know.
I'm just speculating here,
it's
obviously.
Possible. But it's very interesting to me that he had that. Him and his wife both shared the same thing from early on. They just didn't trust the government.
Distrust. Yeah.
And then I will actually mention that Randy Weaver served his 18-month sentence.
He did.
He did, and he actually remarried and had a very happy life after all of that, and he actually only recently passed away at the age of 74 in 2022.
Oh, R.I.P. Good innings.
So, yeah, and that, to me, suggests that he was innocent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he lived a life and served his time and everything like that. But, again, he went to prison for missing trial, not even the original crime that they were all...
And because he was mis-relayed the date that his trial was on as well. It wasn't like he actually, like, skipped the country
or
disappeared for 6 months or anything. Like, he was literally a few days late and they went, oh, we're just going to go balls deep on this bloke.
Yeah, yeah.
Lives in the middle of nowhere. Obviously can't trust him.
That's a different story, balls deep on a bloke.
Sorry, I didn't mean to come out like that.
If you want to sign up to our Patreon, that story will be available after hours, read by Pirate himself.
It's a true story.
Yeah, yeah. Ruby Rims, I believe, is the story.
It's definitely Ruby now.
Right. That's the story of Ruby Ridge, but I found it absolutely fascinating. There's not a story like it when it comes
Yeah, that is nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've got to rate it high. High on the conspiracy rating, entertainment ratings. I mean, just ridiculous. I don't. Yeah. 8.9.
I think that's fair. That's fair. I was just going to give it a straight 9.1.
Yeah, we'll flatten out at 9. Then. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine by me. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just such a crazy story, man.
Absolutely.
It's just absolutely the thing that I know we'll end it soon because it's coming up for time. But the thing about it, the whole story that baffles me the most, is the fact that this guy literally was just in a cabin, and the agency, the federal agents, the FBI, whoever was involved on that side of things, took it from 0 to 100 for no reason, really.
No,
really.
Missing a court case. I mean, normally, you know, send out a letter saying, oh, you've missed your court case. You better have a good reason or you're going to face 3 months in prison or something like that. Fair enough. Don't turn up with an entire SWAT team and sniper rifles and helicopters and stuff. Overkill.
Like you said, even if they suspected that he would be armed, dangerous, not go peacefully, this, that and the other, because of the charges they were accusing him of, even with all of that, like you said...
Still a couple of sheriff cars would probably...
Sheriff cars, a megaphone, a walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
There would have been a way of getting his attention. You didn't need to kill his wife and his kid.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they had nothing to do with it. They were just following their dad and living off-grid. So it's just absolutely nuts.
Yeah, the overkill of Ruby Ridge, I think I would call that.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. 11 days in a cabin, fending off the FBI and having a shootout.
That is amazing. It's a good story, though. Well done for finding that one.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to the JRE experience for that 2-minute clip piquing my interest, I suppose.
And talking of the podcast, we have decided that it's probably not a good idea to do the live stream, haven't we?
Yeah.
Life kind of gets in the way sometimes, and it was probably an oversight to actually try and get that going to start with, because for us, obviously, well, it's high summer time, isn't it? Start of September, still people are still on their summer holidays. Mm. We're very busy at work. We are farmers, if you didn't know that from listening to other pods of ours. Yeah, our day job is in farming, and we are very busy with harvest and stuff like that at this time of year.
Yeah.
And honestly, YouTube isn't great for podcasts anyway.
No.
We're not expecting too many people to turn up, so for the few of you that were looking forward to that, very sorry, but we are still going to be putting on a very good 100th episode for you. We have still got some ideas, and this even has brought out some other ideas of ours.
Okay,
that we're going to be putting into episodes soon. But as always, you can still support us with things like Patreon or merchandise. Merchandise has come out recently with new designs.
Yeah, very cool.
Very cool. So please do go and look into those. My paranormalityuk at mymercher.com. You can't get this T-shirt that I'm wearing. I've worn this today to make you jealous.
I am jealous.
Very tribal-looking Stormtrooper T-shirt.
Mm. That's the sexiest Stormtrooper I've ever seen.
And it's on me.
Mm. Mm. No, not sexy anymore. Oh.
the little secret is, actually, I actually bought this for you when I was on holiday in Menorca recently. And then last week when we did the podcast, I was going to give it to you, and I completely forgot. And then I needed a T-shirt the next day, and I just grabbed it and put it on. And Hayley said, "What are you supposed to give that to Josh?" And I was like, "Well, I might keep it for myself now."
It's the gift that almost was.
Yeah, and now I'm just wearing it to make you jealous.
Yeah. What a kind friend, everyone. Now you've shown your true colours to the people.
Arr.
I suppose that is very pirate of you, to be fair. It's my treasure now.
Yep, it's mine. Yeah. And anyway, till next week, I have been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Patriot.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.